This is PFW in Progress.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of the management to present to you the evening star attraction. Here they are, back after their exclusive 3-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Won't you welcome
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? 3 orange whips.
Paul Perillo.
County fried chicken?
Best damn chicken in the state.
Bring me 4 fried chickens and a Coke.
You want chicken wings or chicken legs?
4 fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
And Andy. And Andy?
It wasn't my fault! Honest! I ran out of gas! I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car.
Andy Hart.
There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust! It wasn't my fault, I swear to God!
Some guy named Tom.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians. We're on a mission from God.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Well, now, what can I get you boys? You thirsty, you hungry, or you just driving through? Maybe like a beer or something a little harder?
No, thank you, ma'am. We may be sucking back a few beers a little later on. We'll be here all night. You see, we're the band.
PFW in Progress.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
It's not Chicago, but we are heading out to the Midwest for Green Bay this week. Thursday afternoon, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, PFW in Progress. As you notice, my mic wasn't on. I don't know why anybody ever turns these off. I find that annoying, but
no one noticed that till you told them.
You're supposed to turn it off after every time you use
why?
Save electricity.
That little red light really uses a lot of electricity?
I don't know why. I just do what I'm told.
How about the big bleeping lights they got going 24-7 outside so they can put down the new million-dollar field?
Off. You don't need to turn the mics off?
Yeah.
The headphones, I would.
Yeah, those run out of batteries, Paul. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was told to do both, so I will no longer shut the microphone off.
Good. Anyway, as I said, Thursday afternoon, PFW in Progress, noon to 2, first hour, myself and Paul Perillo. Take your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Webradio is at patriots.com, 508-543-7482, if you want to call us, especially if you're in Florida. Seems like we're getting a lot of calls from that general region of late, 508-543-7482. At 1 o'clock, Fred Kirsch will join us. Not sure about Tom Casale, because he was not in the building last time I was up in the offices, but we will go around the NFL and make our weekly picks.
That's really going to put a damper on the picks if Tom's not here.
Yeah.
It's because the Cincinnati pick didn't come in.
Yeah.
It's true.
Could be.
His gold star, 5-star lock of the year. It wasn't
talk
such
about
a lock.
Why you don't gamble, though. You know, that was his gold star lock, you know, pick of the week. He was going heavy on it. And he's got a 28-7 halftime lead and can't win it. I mean, that's why you don't gamble.
Yeah, that was one of those games where there were, like, notes and records and numbers made with all the comeback and everything.
First time a team ever scored 42 points in the second half.
Yeah. There were some others, I think, with yards. Yeah, that was a crazy game.
Yeah, I know that everybody probably already knows this, but, you know, the LaDainian...
Vinny Testaverde's on the Patriots?
The LaDainian Tomlinson touchdown thing, you know, he's got 98 career touchdowns. He's approaching 100.
Fastest ever.
Yeah, but by a lot. But, I mean, 93 is the record. He's done it in 88 games so far. So, I mean, he gets
five
two touchdowns
difference.
Next game. That's 4 games more. I mean, that's significant to me. That's extremely impressive.
I don't know if you know, he's pretty good.
No, I know. And I know that everybody's probably already aware of those numbers, but I just see he's on just featured on NFL Live on ESPN, probably the deuce. But
that's why there's been so many comparisons, and they have it now. I know Schottenheimer said he thinks he's the best ever. He has always said
Jim Brown, yeah.
He's always said about Jim Brown, and yeah, now LT is in that the new LT. You got a couple LTs that may be the best ever at their positions now, with Lawrence Taylor and LaDainian Tomlinson. I know he joked early in the year there were some people saying maybe he lost a step and didn't have it anymore. And
he said, imagine if I didn't lose it,
right.
What I could be doing in these games.
He's still legit, still the popular fantasy choice out there.
I'll tell you, one of the things that I worry about with running backs, not necessarily worry about, but you wonder how important it is to have a guy that's that good because the shelf life can't be that
right.
long. It just can't be. You know, once you get a guy that has 2,000 yards or close to it, you know, how long are those guys going to last? And, you know, look, this guy looks like he's pretty durable. But he has tailed off late in seasons a lot, you know, in his career, you know, last year included. So you just wonder how important those guys can be, as good as they are.
Well, it's also how you get him. If your team stinks and you have to pick second overall and you get him, but you have to try and build for the next 6 years to get that's the problem. If you can get somebody like that, you know, you luck out or you make a trade and you get a good draft pick and then you end up with a franchise back on a pretty good team, then it makes you unstoppable.
Because then the next 5 years you have this great
right,
back
you're dominant.
In the prime of his career.
Because for the most part, running backs come in and they can be dominant within a year or so.
Yeah.
So, you know, it all depends how, if you're trying to build around him over the long term, I think those guys get worn down, and sometimes by the time the team is ready to play at the level they're at, those guys are sort of fading and have been worn down by the carries. Another, if we're going to talk about the great all-time running backs, Emmitt Smith won the Dancing with the Stars competition last night.
We haven't even talked about it, but that might be why Tom's not here.
Celebrating.
Yeah, I mean, Tom was as big an Emmitt Smith fan as you'll ever find.
And there was no chance he could lose. I mean, even if just all the Cowboys fans and America's team voted for him, he had a good chance of winning, right? Because he wasn't the better dancer.
Well, it was close.
Mario Lopez is way better
dancer.
It
was close. If you watch every week, and unfortunately I got stuck watching
and I'm the
every H-mo. Week.
What was that?
Did
you have something
H-mo.
In your mouth?
Yeah, why don't you get that out of your mouth next time you talk.
You're trying to fit in with the rest of the show.
I would definitely be doing that, but we don't have anything to eat.
You dropped the ball.
It was close. Not anything at all like last season with Jerry Rice, Jerry Rice was awful. I mean, he was out and out.
I didn't watch it at all last year.
And just kept getting pushed through and through until he lost, like, in the.
See, I don't think it was as close as maybe you do.
Oh, yeah, this was definitely.
Emmitt is me if I took dance lessons. I couldn't do half the stuff that Lopez does.
There was nothing. I thought Lopez was better, but I thought it was close, and you're just probably judging it on last night.
Well, the last two nights
yeah.
is all I've seen.
Well,
but
same,
I saw basically
the
whole
show. They reran what they did the last night.
Yeah, but they showed the entire season.
Yeah, well,
they showed every dance basically that they did.
I can tell you that, you know, I mean, they have professional judges that are giving.
Yeah, I don't buy their judges
Emmitt
either.
Emmitt Smith, you know, the same.
That's one
same
thing. If I ran,
Lopez.
An entertainment show, I'd have a real judge come in, and I'd want to see the actual judging. I find it shocking that they both got the exact same scores, so that it just goes down to America's vote.
But I'm talking about all season. You know, they had to do all different kinds of dances, and
next topic.
They probably split the amount of times that they finished ahead of each other. Whereas Jerry Rice was never up there. Like the professional judges never liked Jerry Rice.
I don't know how professional those judges are. I question their credentials.
Okay.
Was not impressed with the judges.
Andy Hart questioning the credentials of the judges now.
I think they were hired by Vince McMahon.
All right,
the
so
judges.
That might be where Tom is with Emmitt Smith
celebrating
somewhere in Dallas. Other than that, this was an extremely quiet day at Gillette Stadium, I would say.
Although the rubber is down, all the black rubber looks like it's down on the field out there. We just walked by as it's now lunchtime for the field turf crew. They're eating, we're not.
Tirelessly.
Looks like beef stew and rice is on the menu for them today.
And I don't know how much they probably talked about. Gary, they talk about the whole process yesterday at all during the show? Okay, so I won't get into that.
Around darts and Mahjong or whatever games they were talking about?
Mahjong?
I don't know what that is.
We were in some of the press conference.
Okay. So, yeah, Andy's right. It looks like the rubber portion of that surface is down. And but, Andy, you brought up late in the press conference today sort of an interesting little topic that seemed to pique Bill's curiosity or interest, talking about, I assume you got it.
What are you looking for?
He actually sort of asked that again today, and I still had nothing to offer.
Yeah, the NFL has approved for Mike Nolan and Jack Del Rio.
Definitely Nolan, and it seems like Del Rio somehow is getting lumped in and is going to be allowed to as well.
To be allowed to wear a jacket and tie on the sideline, which to this point had been illegal, a violation of the sideline
yeah, not
apparel.
Illegal.
Well, in the NFL.
He didn't get arrested.
In the NFL.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that's illegal in the NFL that you would get laughed out of court. I mean, come on. If your socks aren't up, that's illegal in the NFL.
Well, you know, because you don't have to play for them. That's one of those antitrust monopoly thingies.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but that's beside the point, and it's a topic for a different day. But
you're
anyway,
very argumentative.
You
today.
Brought it up that
I
Mike
said they
Nolan,
were close. Not, blah, 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 blah. Very argumentative.
They were very close, Emmitt Smith and Mario Lopez. You said that they weren't close.
I disagree.
But that's a topic for another day.
Anyway.
Wait, they're allowed to talk about darts and Mahjong that no one's ever heard of, but we can't
talk
about
emails and
a 20 million person audience of a TV show. I think some other people might have seen it.
My ears are bleeding. Move on.
Why is he so cranky today?
I was going to say, I'm the one who's argumentative.
He's not.
I wasn't until 12:01 when we went on the air. But yes, they were discussing the wardrobe and the sideline, and Bill sort of went off on. I really thought that would be one of those where you just throw it out there and might get a quote of the week for the paper, like a one-line response. And he went off on a whole thing about the history and tradition and the busts in the Hall of Fame with the suits and the old school and the hats and all those guys. And
that caught on like bell-bottom pants.
And didn't necessarily shoot it down.
Well, that's
the potential of him wearing a suit.
Underneath all of the humor of, and Andy asked him, if he was ever thought of turning in his gray hoodie for, a jacket and tie. And underneath the humor of it, which it was meant to be very lighthearted, but Bill, I think, I would consider it. He didn't know.
As sort of
paying
homage to the tradition of the game and the guys that used to do it.
And he had, and I genuinely believe him, he had no idea that the NFL has decided that Mike Nolan
could do this. Well, he said somebody mentioned something
like
to him right before they came out.
Yeah.
So probably Bears.
And very interesting that I think that it's something that he's thought about.
I couldn't see him. I'm sorry.
I couldn't either.
I could not see him in a suit on the sideline.
Super Bowl every year, I've never seen a guy who looks. He looks like a 14-year-old that's
on
mitzvah.
Travel day.
He looks as uncomfortable in a suit as anybody I've ever seen.
I'll put Fred right up there.
Fred on travel day is very appropriate.
When he's got
they have suits with cut off sleeves.
Fred's front button under the tie is ready to just shoot out at any time because the neck is just pulling on that with thousands of pounds of pressure.
I feel like Richard Seymour.
But then, of course, Bill goes, well, when did they start those sideline rules? And I'm like, I don't know.
Michelle,
early 90s or
Michelle
something?
Michelle Murphy of the PR department looks at me and she's like I'm supposed to know.
It always happens to us. It's like Bill and Tom at Shula's in Indy. How many of these does he have? Oh, a few.
There's a lot of inane questions.
5, that Bill, 10, 20?
There's a lot of inane questions that Bill could ask me that I would have an educated answer for.
What are you looking for?
Like today, he said that Rocky's won every fight. And I said, no, he lost the first one, Bill.
And he goes, oh, that's right. He's 4-1. Of course, he has to get right to the numbers. He's 4-1.
First place in the division.
Of course, Bill's giving him credit for a fight that took place in an alley.
Which, by the way, we didn't need to get into this in the press conference setting, but he lost another fight, too, because he lost the first one to Clubber Lang.
Well, he lost a few, right? I mean, he wouldn't be 4-1 over his career. He had like a whole,
a
career.
In the movies, just in the movies, he's lost at least two that we know of. He lost to Apollo Creed and he lost to Clubber Lang.
And you can't get credit for one that took place in an alley in front of a Mack truck. That's not an officially sanctioned bout.
He's 3-2. He sucks.
He's average. He'll be 4-2 soon, though,
It's like going to see Peter McNeely.
We were talking about it, though, Gary. We watched the trailer for the new movie. The new Rocky Balboa.
I think I saw it.
I've had no interest whatsoever in seeing the movie. And I like Rocky as much as anybody on the planet. Well, maybe except for Michael Parenti. But I had no interest whatsoever in seeing the movie. I saw the trailer. Now I want to see the movie.
Just
the trailer, tremendous.
It was a trailer during The Departed. And it looked good.
Gary's on board with talking about Rocky.
No, I've noticed that.
Rocky, all right, emailers, Rocky or Dancing with the Stars?
Please.
But Emmitt Smith is a tie-in.
Yeah, we talked about
the NFL's all-time leading rusher. We were talking about the all-time touchdown. There's a tie-in. It's
Gary,
not out of the blue.
Now I know why you want me to host the show when Fred's not here, Gary. I understand now.
We're a diverse show. We're able to speak.
But you're saying that AC Slater is a better dancer.
I think he is. Of course, forget it. We'll move on. But yes, Bill discussed it, and Bill sort of left the door open if it became, because he says, I just do what they tell me to, and if you get a memo, you do what the memo says, and no one's ever asked my opinion.
No one has, in all my years as head coach, no one has ever asked me about what, I should wear in the side. And if you look at it that way, and I know that you think, well, it's great, the NFL, they should be able to do whatever they want, I think it's interesting that they mandate what you can and can't wear.
It's Reebok.
It's ridiculous.
Reebok wants only their low, and I have no problem with it, because if you pay $120 million or whatever they pay to be the official sideline apparel provider of the National Football League, they have the right to protect their logo.
And I can understand Bill's perspective.
I just don't understand why Reebok doesn't do like they do in college, where the college basketball guys wear a suit with the little Reebok gold or silver pin on the lapel. Why don't you allow coaches to wear that, and then it looks like it's a Reebok suit? No one cares. No one's going out to buy a suit because somebody wore it.
I don't think it's a major issue here either way. It's not something I think that needs to be, you know, dissected and analyzed. But I can understand Bill's perspective of if you're going to go out as a league and make these deals that force individual people to follow the rule that you put down, you at least should consult them. And I can understand Bill's perspective on that. In order for the league to make this 120, whatever you say that they make from Reebok, the coaches have to do what you tell them to. I don't think that's right.
Just to be fair, I'm not sure Bill has like an open line of communication working. You know, I bet you some coaches see whoever the person is that makes these sort of decisions at a league meeting and they sort of shoot the poo in the hallway and say, you know, would you guys care if we outlawed wearing anything but... I'm just not sure Bill really has that, you know what I mean? I think some coaches were probably informally polled or discussed it. You know, they're friendly, they have all, and I'm not sure Bill has a lot of those relationships with league-type officials.
I'm sure you're right about that. I just think it's wrong that they mandate what you can wear without without consulting you.
I don't have a problem with it. You that know? Sort of falls in line with my whole theory. If he's going to accept the $4 million paycheck or whatever to be the head coach, you take the good, you take the bad. You know what I mean?
All right.
I feel like Fred can tell me to do stuff that I might not necessarily agree with. You know why? Because he's the boss. He's bossy. All right, you ready to get to emails?
Because
they're starting to come in.
Yeah, all right. Well, go to them.
Because it's one of those short days because Fred will come down and yell at us and pretend that only his shows are perfectly run and we run a circus when he's not here and are incapable. So webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Join us on the phone. Join us via email. Talk about the Packers and the...
Just don't talk about Dancing with the Stars because Gary will get all mad.
Gary will delete those emails before they even reach my inbox here. Oh, that's not good. I see one that sort of has dance in the subject. He won't like that.
No, but it's probably someone ripping us.
But it could be, or they could be agreeing with us. Who knows? But Packers on tap. Brett Favre, Tom Brady matchup. That is clearly the storyline of the week. Hall of Famers, durable, streaks for playing, all that sort of stuff. And you know, I find it interesting. I think if you had talked about this game 3 months ago, you would have expected Brett Favre was... once again, limping through another season, but he's actually playing pretty well of late. I think he has 13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, so not on pace for the 29 he had in leading the league a year ago. And Tom Brady sort of comes into the game as the one maybe whimpering and limping a little bit after 5 interceptions in 2 weeks and sort of 2 back-to-back questionable games. So a little bit of change in roles there for the short period here.
Yeah, and coming under a little bit of fire maybe for the first time of his career. You know, it's been a slow, gradual thing, but it seems to be gaining momentum. Now, I have been, you know, and I know you have too, Andy, you know, pretty big defenders of Brady.
I was up until last Sunday night.
And I'm starting to put a little bit more of it on his shoulders, I think, now than I was willing to do earlier in the year. Now, I still think the receivers are an issue.
No question.
And I still think there are some other factors involved, but clearly... Tom Brady is not playing at a level that Tom Brady is accustomed to playing. Right. And until he does, I think this team is mired in mediocrity.
And beyond that, he hasn't done, which we sort of joked about it, but there's supposed to be some truth to it, that Rishay Caldwell was Rishay Caldwell, but when he gets here with Brady, Brady will make him better. That's what he does. He makes David Patton better. He makes David Givens better, whoever you think he made better. And I don't think right now he's making those guys better. If anything, they're still struggling to get on the same page. And I think if we're going to sort of give him credit for being able to do that, maybe we have to call into question. And last week, I kind of thought the receivers bailed him out on a few occasions with some great catches.
Yeah.
And so I just think we need to be fair. If we're going to praise the guy as, you know, the amazing accuracy and ability to read defenses and not throw the ball where he shouldn't, well, we need to be accountable and say he's not doing all those things right now to make the team better and to make his weapons better. He's sort of...
I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely right. You know, I was as staunch a supporter as there was because I felt like he would make the receivers better, and I think to an extent he has. But the passing game, save for that one performance in Minnesota, has been very pedestrian. And we're not used to seeing that out of Brady. They just had a clip up on NFL Live, you know, one touchdown pass, five interceptions, 56 and change passer rating over the last 2 weeks. That's not Brady-like football.
Oh, they got NFL Network has one of those SID notes on there. If the temperature is going to be below 40 degrees, Brady versus Favre. Brady 21 and 2, Favre 48 and 13 in games,
right.
40 or below. Could be another one of those that takes on another loss.
You know,
not back-to-back games.
You know,
he's great on turf. He's great on this.
Last week we talked all about the back-to-back games, and I think that was one of those that truly is a remarkable achievement. The fact that they went
for him or the team
57 games without back-to-back losses. And a lot of times, and the fans kind of make fun of me because sometimes I just dismiss some of these. This would be one I dismiss. I don't care.
Temperature below 40?
Yeah. The temperature of the game doesn't matter to me at all.
I also like that it sometimes fluctuates. Like, you look in the press release, sometimes it's 36, sometimes it's 40, sometimes it's 32.
It's part of the reason I dismiss those things.
To me, the obvious one is 32, is freezing. If you're going to pick, like, one in that general area there, pick it at freezing. What does he do when it's below freezing?
Right.
I mean, that would be the obvious number.
But and I'm not saying it's not impressive to have good numbers and good records. I'm not blowing them all off. They don't mean it that much to me. Now, going 57 games without losing two games in a row, that means a lot to me. Going 21 games without losing, period, that means a lot to me. I think those are extremely impressive achievements. Now, you know, being whatever in one on an artificial surface is kind of circumstantial.
Those numbers are going to shoot through the roof now.
Yeah, they're going to be playing on artificial surface every game. Home game.
And many on the road.
Now, the rest of their games this year, the rest of their road games, I should say, are on grass. Now, so the only...
Jacksonville, Tennessee, Green Bay. Where's the other one?
Miami.
Welcome to Miami. Interesting. Oh, yeah, that was one note coming out of the press conference today. Bill made a lot of comparisons between the Packers.
Hi, this is Ty Law. Welcome to Miami.
Hi, Ty. Between the Packers defense this year and the Dave Wannstedt defenses out of Miami, sort of making some comparisons to the Zach Thomas role of Jason Taylor.
Speed, linebacker, athleticism.
You know, what A.J. Hawk's doing on the outside, with, you know, man-to-man coverage, some blitzing, a lot of different things. I thought that was sort of interesting. That's a defense Patriots struggled against often.
Haven't paid attention that much to the Packers, obviously, but has Hawk been as good as Bill kind of painted him out to be?
I think my impression is he's come on the last couple of weeks and had some pretty good weeks.
He has 4 or 5 sacks.
4.5, I believe, is sack total. They have 31 as a team.
No, I know they have a lot as a
team. Kampman, I think, has like 9.5. KGB is second, and then I think Hawk is third with 4.5. I think KGB might have like 6. So
this is a team that can get
after the
passer.
It's amazing. They have two guys at cornerback, Al Harris, a Pro Bowl alternate the last 2 years, and Charles Woodson, who never lived up to the hype,
but
is talented. And they get to the passer 31 times. He tells me they have all this speed at linebacker, and yet they're dead last in the league in giving up passing yards.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. That's what Miami did in terms of how they played. You know, he talked with them. That's what Miami did with Madison and Surtain for years, man-to-man on the outside. You know, too deep over the top, and you know they would just make you beat them that way. A lot of press coverage, and I'm guessing that's what we're going to see on Sunday. The way Bill talked about it today,
it'll be interesting because, as I said, Brady and the Patriots have struggled against that defense at times,
especially the passing game. And you would think against the 32nd ranked pass defense, you should be able to be better than that. But we'll see.
We shall see. And you know, I talked about Favre a little resurgent. Amon Green has been, not last week, but had 3 straight weeks with 100 yards, sort of come on, having a pretty good year, 660 yards or whatever it is, sort of at the midway point. And
turnovers with the Packers is always the key.
They're -4, I think.
Both Favre and Green are guys that turn the ball over. Green is a big-time fumbler, and Favre obviously has thrown his share of interceptions.
More than his share.
Especially recently. So... now, all of a sudden, he's protected the ball a little bit better the last couple of weeks, and the Packers are 4-5 and trying to get into that contender category. Right now, they're probably still pretenders with, you know, St. Louis and Minnesota.
And that's the story.
Some of those teams, that 4-5 group, you know, who among that group is going to emerge as a playoff team? Because maybe one of those 4-5 teams, probably St. Louis, I think, is.
That's the story out of Green Bay. I was reading some of their clips, and. They're using this game as a measuring stick against the Patriots. You know, are the can the Packers get into a playoff hunt? That's can they be that sort of competitive team? And we'll find out this week.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the what they're using.
It's funny because if you had asked me 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, I would this wouldn't even have given you 2 seconds to contemplate. I would have just didn't no way the Packers can play with the Patriots. But now I'm not so sure. I think it might be a close game this week.
Franchise is going in very different directions.
Well, I'm not willing to say that yet.
Okay, should we get to the emails?
Sure.
This one, we got a few pre-mails from late yesterday. This one is from Gary Derlugian. He wants to talk about letdown. My take on the Pats' last two losses. Seems they, the Pats, get so high, amped up, they have a major letdown and don't practice well the following week. Evidence of this is turnovers. They're not sharp. Last year's playoff against the Jag was dominating on both sides of the ball. The following week, we all know they played sloppy ball, dropped passes, fumbles, interceptions, and muffed punts. This year, they did the same thing against Minnesota, dominated. Subsequently, a letdown, which carried over the following week against the Jets. My point is they get too high. It's up to the coaching staff to get them ready and on an even keel. I understand they're pros, but they're also human with highs and lows. What do you think? Go with it, Paul.
I really don't know how to respond. I mean, so it's a bad thing. I don't know exactly what the email is trying to say.
Saying they get too high.
When they have a dominating performance, maybe they lose focus.
Yeah.
They're
not prepping as well. I
don't necessarily buy that.
I guess you could maybe argue that this year, but I think in recent history this team has done the opposite of that.
I think they do an exceptional job of playing one game at a time and keeping that focus from week to week, as is evidenced by going 57 consecutive games without losing two in a row. I mean, I think that they do a very, very good job. I don't think that they first of all, I heard a lot of talk about good practice week heading into Indianapolis. And I heard talk, conversely, heading into Minnesota about they weren't sure because
right.
They felt they had a bad practice week.
I think some of that's all hindsight, and you just look at it and you got to see how they play. And
wasn't it the Minnesota game that Bill said that he had to leave them out in the field for an extra hour one day or something? I think it was heading into Minnesota. I might be wrong on that. I might be mixing up the games. It may have been before that.
But I just don't think that's one of the problems, major problems on this team.
I agree. Turnovers happen. I don't think it's I think they're kind of circumstantial. I don't think it's a focus thing. Now, if you have a team that turns the ball over like, you know, an ungodly amount of times, then maybe you could say it's a focus thing. But Tom Brady wasn't focused against Indianapolis and he threw four interceptions. I don't necessarily buy into that.
Next up, we have JC in Anaheim. I have to read the subject because it's about Gary. Gary, you do a great job. Please make sure they read this email. Well, I'm going to read it, JC. Just give me a minute. Guys, as always, you do a terrific job, but this email is for anyone that would like Calvin Johnson, Leon Hall, and Lance Briggs on the team next year. I believe the time has come to go for some blue chippers and not hope for a miracle in the middle rounds. We have a perfect partner in Arizona who will be up in first or second place. In the draft, I'm assuming they're talking about. We trade Matt Light, Stephen Neal, the draft pick from Frandon Gorin, plus this year's third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh draft choices for the rights to draft Calvin Johnson. That should be a deal they can't pass up. As far as Leon Hall, we trade our two first-rounders and a second-rounder to get Leon Hall, who will go in the top 10, I believe. He looks like a young Ty Law, only faster. Then we take every bit of cap room we can get to secure Lance Briggs from Chicago. As opposed to spending too much on David Givens, it seems like a good investment. Plus, Bill and Scott have had no luck drafting linebackers. I don't think the quality of the O-line would drop that much, and next year's backups, surprise, are already this year's backups, Britt, Yates, and Murchkowski. Plus, with our compensatory picks, offensive lineman, blocking tight end, and a QB of the future, it may seem far-fetched, but I didn't pick Oliver Hoyt, and that seemed far-fetched at the time. Thanks again to all of you.
I just switched our draft day programming to be 5 minutes on Saturday at noon. That's it.
That was a, was that tongue-in-cheek? I'm not sure if that was a real one or not, but I'll just keep moving. Right. Neil, what's his last name? Neil from Nottingham. Love the emails from across the pond, mate. I don't know. Mate. Hey, guys.
Mate.
Australia is technically across a couple ponds, right?
Wow.
It's in the middle of a big
pond. But Nottingham's not.
Well, Nottingham's across a pond.
It's not in Australia.
That's true. I mix it up a little there. Hey, guys. This is a subject NFL.
Bonjour, Neil.
NFL conference shakeup. I was thinking that, in my opinion, the AFC-NFC setup is very outdated and a throwback to the 1960s when the two original leagues merged. That was actually 1970, wasn't it?
Wait a minute. The AFC and NFC setup is very outdated?
Yes.
That's what he's saying? Why?
Should I read on?
Oh, okay. I thought it was done.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Boy, you can't take a breath here before Paul argues with you. The way the divisions are set up sometimes means inferior teams qualify for the playoffs at the expense of genuinely better teams. For example, the AFC West will take wins from each other, normally preventing KC or San Diego from qualifying, whereas they probably both would qualify most years if they didn't have to play each other twice a season. Admittedly, the Pats have benefited from the current division structure, but there may come a time when it bites us. Another weakness of the conference setup is the Super Bowl teams. Wouldn't it be better if the two best teams in the league met rather than an AFC team and an also-ran from the NFC? I'd vote for the NFL to install one 32-team quote-unquote division with no conferences. The top 12 teams qualify for the playoffs with the seeds worked out on the league position. The next year's schedule will be weighted against the top sides, who will play mostly higher-placed teams, and vice versa for the lower teams, which will help give the league more parity, which the NFL seems to love. Another advantage would also mean you get a better variety of teams to watch, with no set opponents each year. I personally don't like seeing the Jets, Dolphins, and Bills twice a year, every year, especially considering we only play some NFC sides once every 4 years. The only downside I can foresee is that you would lose some historical rivalries between teams. I'd appreciate your thoughts. Please keep up the great work. Cheers. Neil from Nottingham, Australia.
So basically his problem is with the divisional alignment more so than the conference alignment.
Well, he also wants no conference for the Super Bowl there.
But the problem that he's talking about, how do you schedule? How do you work out a schedule?
Just
if
one
no
big schedule.
Right. So how do you do it?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, we need answers. We need solutions.
I don't understand the question.
How do you work out the schedule for everybody?
You get that old couple on Nantucket that does the baseball schedule.
Old couple on Nantucket.
That does the baseball schedule, the MLB schedule.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You didn't know that? It's an old lady and an old man.
It's pretty easy in baseball. You have divisional alignment, just like you do in football. You have to play all the teams in your division 19 times.
But it doesn't matter what the rules are. If you have no rules, it just opens them up to, as he said, it'd be weighted. The top 12, the 12 teams that make the playoffs, would be based on winning percentage, it sounds like he likes.
No, I have no problem with that. And you know what? I like the playoff format. I don't think you necessarily need to change the divisions, though, to do that. I don't mind the...
But his point
is, I don't mind just having the top six.
You get penalized for, if you're in a good division, you get penalized because you're playing three good teams and somebody in a bad division.
But that's cyclical, and that's, I mean, how you can't eliminate that.
Right.
Because somehow, no matter which way you do it, and this is probably not going to be explained right, I like Neil's ideas, but there's no way that you can eliminate the inequities of scheduling. Because someone is going to have to play the good teams more than someone else will have to play good teams, no matter how you do it.
Well, he's trying to divvy it up that, like, the 12 playoff teams would play each other, and the last 12 would play each other more often. It would sort of be divvied up.
So don't you think that the last 12 would have a better chance to finish that particular season with a good record?
Probably.
Therefore, having inferior teams in the playoffs.
By the way, in that little system, you're back to where you don't have the two best teams playing the Super Bowl.
Yes, that's my point. And it's hard. And like I said, I like a lot of Neil's ideas. Remember back, you probably don't, Andy, because it was before 1985. But
oh, good one,
when
Paul,
there
good
was a
one.
There was a strike, I want to say the 82 strike. They only played 9 games that year. So what they did in the playoffs was they abolished the divisions, and they just had the top 8 seeds in each conference make the playoffs. And they just went by record. You know, the one played 8, 2 played 7, and so forth. I kind of like that. I don't mind not having division champ. I don't like the whole wild card division champ thing, because I think you can get a situation where there's some inequity involved with San Diego, for example, having to play at maybe New England in a playoff game. If New England, say, is the the AFC East champ, let's say the Patriots kind of stumble down the stretch here and finish, I don't know, 10-6. Like they did last year. And Jacksonville had a better record than New England last year. You know, let's use that as an example because that actually happened. You know, Jacksonville was 12-4. New England is 10-6. They shouldn't have had to go to New England to play in a playoff game. But that's the way the system is set up. And I think there's going to be inequities no matter what, because if you do just no divisions in teams, chances are some teams are going to end up having to play more of the good teams than others, and there's going to be inequities with the schedule no matter what.
I think you can pick apart any system.
In the division format, the way that they do it right now, it's cyclical. I mean, back in the mid to late 90s, the AFC East was the best division in football, and the Patriots had to play the Colts twice, the Bills twice, the Jets twice, and Miami twice. I mean, that was a much more difficult road, say, in 1998 than it will be than the AFC West is right now. You know, it's cyclical. I mean, right now the AFC East, you know, like Neil pointed out, the Patriots benefit from it. So I think it always changes. It's always going to be different.
WebRadioPatriots.com, WebRadioPatriots.com. Up next, Mike is a syrup farmer in Vermont, I'm assuming.
Good stuff.
Hey, guys.
By Neil, though.
Great show as always. I was wondering if Vinny Testaverde was brought in more to help Bill B with Josh McDaniels than anything else. Think about it. Vinny knows Bill's system. He has his trust and perhaps can be a buffer between Bill B and Josh McDaniels. Also, receiving feedback from both Tom Brady and Josh while observing game film and live action will put in a great position to give advice or suggested changes to the offense. What do you think?
I think, according to Belichick, and I'm going to take him at face value here, that has nothing to do with it.
Third quarterback, emergency quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that Bill talked about it yesterday is that they've lived all season with two quarterbacks, and they've just gotten to the point where they're a little anxious about it, and they want to make sure they're protected just in case something happens and they want an emergency quarterback. Now, I personally think that you're closer to the point of, quote-unquote, something happening right now than you were before the season started, based on the amount of the hits and punishment that Brady has taken. And Brady insists that he's fine, and Bill insists that he's fine, but I got to think that he is not completely fine, and he's dealing with some injuries.
It's taking a toll. Speaking of tolls, we go to Joshua Tolls in Arlington, Virginia. Lately, there has been a lot of commentary on how Patriots fans at the games aren't great, and some would even say they suck when it comes to creating a menacing atmosphere for opposing teams. I will agree that lately it has been a little tough with the crowd being less than vocal when the team needs it. However, I wanted to take a moment to think back and appreciate one of my favorite moments in Pat's history. A few years back, there was a game played under what could only be described as ridiculous conditions. Something like 16 inches of snow fell over the night, and just before the game, it was freezing, cold, and miserable. But Pats fans made their way to the stadium and their seats and shoveled them out or just sat on the snow piles. The Pats played a great game beating the Dolphins in a 13-10 shutout, I believe. When Brewski picked the pass...
13-10 shutout, huh?
I mean 13-0 shutout. When Brewski picked off the pass and scored the touchdown, and all that snow started flying, it was one of the most memorable moments in sports in a sports fan's history. Everyone I know who saw that, no matter what team they followed, thought it was one of the greatest scenes ever. Pats fans might be a little spoiled these days, but give respect where it is due. When things are at their worst, they may gripe a lot, but they'll be there to support the team. Just as this week is a big week for the team with a lot of soul-searching to be done, I call on Pats fans to remember what it was like to have all football fans laugh at the thought of our team winning when they played any other team with a decent lineup. It sucks that they are struggling to be consistent, but let's get behind our boys and let them do their thing. Let's get a rockin' crowd going for the Bears game in 2 weeks. The Pats will crush the Packers this weekend 35-10 with three picks from Favre and with the help of a great crowd. Week by the Bears, 20-17. Go, Pats. Whew, I needed a breath. That was a long one with small font.
Right, but more importantly, Tom Casale's with us, fresh off the celebration
Emmett
party.
Emmett Smith celebration Smith. Party. We're not allowed to talk about it, just so you know, though, Tom. Gary, very cranky. No Dancing with the Stars talk on this show. I don't know. Cranky pants. Jeremy Heidenrich is up next. Wants to talk about Vinny. Vinny was signed for two reasons. One, to take some of the practice reps from Tom so he can rest his shoulder, elbow, arm, etc.
None.
Two.
Non-factor completely.
To provide some veteran experience for Matt C. Thanks, guys. Jeremy in New Market, New Hampshire.
The first one I'm going to say is completely false. He's not getting practice reps from Tom Brady.
He's the emergency third quarterback.
Right.
playing the role of Fred Kirsch today is Tom Casale, sitting in the big leather chair here in the studio and just observing from afar. Really fills that chair out. Russell Doucette, Field Turf World. Hey, guys. Great show as always. In my opinion, you guys are second to none. I really enjoy Tom's piece with Grogan on Wednesday's Patriots Today. Grogan was such a great player that they gave his jersey number to Vinny Testaverde. I added that in just so you know. He ended with such a great player. He helped rescue this franchise and give it some respectability in spite of the Sullivans. I still contend that had the moron Raymond Berry started him instead of Eason, the game would have at least been close. I see there is some rumblings in the Boston press that maybe Belichick has lost or is losing control of the locker room. I'm not buying it. But do you feel there could be some foundation for such talk? There is no one else I'd rather see running this team than Mr. Bill. In the pantheon of great coaches in Boston sports, he is only behind Red, who will always be number one, and Don Cherry, in my humble opinion anyway. I just hope they can get more consistent on offense and end this free shot at Brady party that's been happening way too frequently and get a little bit more healthy. Thanks again, guys. The show rocks. Russell in wherever Russell's from. Sun-drenched OC.
Do you know who Don Cherry is, Andy?
Yeah, he's a guy from Canada, Bruins coach, hosts a lot of stuff on Canadian Hockey Channel, Sports Channel, whatever.
Grapes?
Hate grapes?
I don't know what that one means.
That was his nickname, Grapes.
I'm assuming, though, it's not a dancing reference. So, is he losing the locker room?
No, not at all.
Why not?
There was some talk about this past week, you know, Richard Seymour, in particular, said post game that they felt they were outplayed and outcoached, and there was some other comments from guys, Mike Vrabel, Troy Brown, talking about, which I thought was kind of interesting, talking about the other unit. You know, Vrabel talking about offense, Brown talking about defense, but I haven't really read a whole
Troy's
lot.
Troy's allowed, right? I mean, where does he belong?
Well,
offense,
that's
true. Defense. He's in both.
He could have been talking about themselves, yeah. But I haven't really read anything that says, you know, Belichick is losing control of the locker room. We've seen that in the past.
Has Ron Borges written this week? Because no one else is writing that story except Ron Borges.
Right. I haven't really seen that much. And no, I don't think that that's happening. I think they're at a bit of a crossroads. And I think that they're, one of the emails called it a little soul searching. I think there's some truth to that. I think they're trying to find out which direction they're going and get it back pointed in the winning direction. But, is there concern? Yeah, but I don't think it's necessarily a tuning out of Bill Belichick and a losing control of the locker room situation. Do you? I mean, am I wrong on that? Do you feel like that?
No, I do not feel that way. I would expect everything's well under
control. There's definite concern, though. I'm not sweeping this under the rug the way Fred Kirsch would.
See, I don't think it's like mental concerns or any of that. I think it's just you got to get out there and make plays.
Play better. Yep.
I don't think it's any of these mind games or any of that stupid stuff. I think it's make plays.
I agree.
Jeremy Heidenreich checking back in, and we always read all our emails, so I have to read this one about Dancing with the Stars. Mario was better.
All right, Jeremy.
A lot better, he says. No, he didn't. He just said better. Brings Tom Casale out of the chair.
Gary, I don't care what you say. You can't cut my mic off, or I'm going to come in there and I'm going to dance on you. That thing wasn't even close. Emmett Smith won easy. The vote wasn't even close. I went to different websites. He had between 60 and 70% of the vote.
That's not the question here. There's no question it wasn't close because all he needed was Cowboys fans to vote for him and it was over. The question is, was he truly a better dancer? And I don't think the answer is yes to that. I think it's
no. Mario took professional dance classes. Is that fair?
I think it was pretty close, to be honest.
I don't think it was as close as Paul does.
I just think
Andy thinks that he shouldn't even have been there. He tunes in one night.
But you know why? He didn't see Holyfield and Jerry Rice dance. If you saw those two dance, Emmitt Smith for professional football player was phenomenal.
Jerry Springer. Whew, does he stink?
Jerry Rice
coming out with his cha-cha thingies that he was shaking.
Jerry Rice was not as good as Jerry Springer.
Yeah,
but why are we? I don't get the comparison.
Because Jerry Rice went to the final too.
He went to the final too.
Right, for probably the same reason. Because he's got the whole 49er
and the bottom
fans
line is
for
they shouldn't have recently retired NFL football players on the show because it's not fair.
Well, they also need to retire the girl who's Emmett's partner, who's the dynasty.
Right. she's obviously the
unfair advantage.
Because
I think Mario was better than his partner. I thought he was a better dancer than her. I didn't think. Well, usually the girls carry people.
What's this man love for Mario Lopez?
I was just going to say, not that on this.
No, I hate him.
Dancing
hate
aficionado.
Him. Couldn't hate him more.
You think a lot more of his dancing ability than
couldn't
I.
Couldn't hate him more. I think he's a despicable human being.
Me and you can do that little breakdance thing that he did. Unimpressive.
I think there's a lot of stuff he does that I can't do. Now, Emmett, I think I can do everything he did if I took a couple months of lessons.
See, I thought Emmett was the same on pretty much every dance. The first, like, 20 seconds of what he was doing would be very mechanical, and like he was trying to think of everything he was doing. Then all of a sudden, like the last minute, he was great.
Yeah.
If I knew how to shut off your sound bites, Gary, I'd go do it. But I can't even turn my own mic on, so I'll say webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com. Tom Casale in the house, waiting patiently to make his picks. I'm assuming Fred
Games.
Kirsch will be around at some point. Have you seen Fred, Tom?
No, I haven't seen him. I don't even know what games are this week.
We still have quite a ways to go.
Yeah, we got 10 minutes before we should expect Fred Kirsch. We still have emails. I'm just saying. Tom's in the house. All I'm saying is Tom Casale in the house. Brian Zakowski checking in from Colorado. Besides being offsides, did Marquise Hill do anything else on defense? I'll add in something here.
Yes, he
ever
run
in his career?
Yes, he got run over in a couple of plays.
How many plays do you guess he was in on? Does he look indecisive? Describe how he plays and what you think his positive and negative attributes are. He sucks.
Was that the first game he's ever been in?
Why do you do that?
Because he does. I don't understand why he's on the roster.
Was that his first game?
No.
He's been in before.
Played like 6 or 7 games. Mostly like the JV type late season games. And I think he now has 10 career tackles or 9 career tackles over.
I would say he was probably in the game somewhere between 5 and 7 plays on Sunday.
I've never seen him do anything that I would deem positive.
I agree.
I think he stinks. I think he plays high. I think he gets killed. He's supposed to be this great athlete and project, and I've never seen him do anything. You know, there's guys, I don't know if you see him on the Patriots necessarily, but they're projects, and you see reasons for it. You see flashes. They make 5 bad plays, but then there's one where you go, oh, yeah, that's why he's in pro sports, and that's, you know, if he could do that half the time, he'd be good. I've never seen Marquise Hill do anything.
Yeah, I think that he's very tall, and I think that hurts him.
A strong arm?
I think that hurts him, though. I think that he's such a tall, angular kind of body. Like, Richard Seymour is 6'6", but he's a big, thick 6'6". You know, Ty Warren's a big, tall guy, but...
You reach Richard Seymour fan hotline.
I don't know. I think that the Marquise Hill...
error is over.
Experiment might be coming to an end soon.
He used up his redshirt year and his JV year.
According to Bill, this is no place to be sitting around for 3 or 4 years. And,
right, you can't do that.
I like how he compared it to college. In college, Marquise Hill actually played.
Right. Yeah, I've never understood the whole Marquise Hill thing. I sort of defended it the first year, just assuming they saw something and he was going to develop, but he hasn't, so... I'm done defending.
Bottom line is when like you said, Andy, when Mike Wright found a way to get on the field, right, there's no more excuses like, well, he's behind this guy, he's behind that guy. But Dan Klecko was on the field last year.
So, and I know the whole argument, well, Marquise Hill doesn't really play special teams, but I don't care. Get on the, if you could do anything, you'd be out there. He was out there last week. Even if all the other cases you say it's because the other guys are on special teams, well, last week he had a chance where they were rotating everybody and their brother, and he did nothing.
And plus, Seymour, in the last couple of years, has missed games.
Mm-hmm.
So you think that would be an opportunity for him to come in and show what he's got. And
he's had the opportunities. Nothing. He's done nothing with it.
I agree that he hasn't done anything with his opportunities. The only thing that Tom just said that I wouldn't agree with is I don't think Dan Klecko has played any more defense than Marquise Hill has in his time here. Dan Klecko played one game of defense, and
didn't
he was
play
so
last year. He
was
on the
so
field
bad.
A little bit.
No, not on defense.
You sure.
I mean, he might have played a play or two here or there, like Marquise Hill did the other day, but not in a regular. He started one game his rookie year against Denver, and that was the only game that all year they allowed a 100-yard rusher.
I thought I saw him last year.
Edgeward checking in. Subject: Brady. When the O line is on their heels and Brady is taking a beating, he starts to fold. He was like that last year also. If you can get to him, you can disrupt him. His game, a dub.
Hey, you, give me a quarterback that you wouldn't make that comment about.
You talking to me or a dub?
Yeah, give me a quarterback that if you get to him, he's the same quarterback.
There aren't any.
Right. I mean, it's just human nature. When you're throwing the ball from your backside too often, you're gonna be affected. It's hard to be the same guy.
Got a good one coming up, Paul. I like this one.
Okay, go ahead.
From Phil Audette. Up or down? Andy and Paul, in your opinion, are the following players performing better or worse this year than last? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
So better or worse?
Better or worse than last year?
Right. Mike Vrabel. Worse for Andy.
Yeah, worse.
His best friend Paul Perillo took a while. Troy Brown.
Better.
I'll go better. Asani Samuel.
Better.
I'll go better, I guess. I would like to go push there. Matt Light. Push.
Push.
He's always been...
average.
Yeah. Vince Wilfork. Better.
Better.
Roosevelt Colvin. Worse.
Same.
Logan Mankins. He's a god.
He's a guard. I'll say better. Just natural progression.
I'll say better. Pro Football Weekly made him one of their midseason All-Pros. I'll go better.
Yeah.
That was Phil from Austin. I like that email.
I like it, too. Don't know what the answers are, but.
Oh, boy. Ron in Raymond,
Ron
New Hampshire,
Burgundy?
Checking in. Hey, guys. Am I the only person in North America who doesn't give a rat's ass about Dancing with the Stars? No.
Gary
you and
doesn't.
Gary are the two. Fred Kirsch walked in a couple minutes ago, by the way. And why does
sure
he have food?
I'm sure he didn't give a rat's ass.
Why does he have food?
I don't know.
And we don't. That buffet is for field turf installers, not us. You put up a lot. Could you get on mic if you're going to talk?
For those fans who can hear Fred, which means everybody.
Fred said he just put up a live webcam. So apparently you can now watch the field turf installation process live on the web, Fred? Patriots.com, is it obviously placed on the...
Boring!
See, I don't think fans will find that boring. I think we have fans that would want to watch some of that.
I'm just trying to entice Fred to a microphone. And it worked.
Just so you know, there's no microphone there.
Why would people want to watch that?
Because fans like to watch everything. I think they would. I think they're interested in that process.
I'd like to see it when it was done. I don't really care.
You're on the air, Fred.
No, the webcam, if you go to Patriots.com, it's right in the center column, you know, in that white area. That's the first thing. You can go click on it and watch a live stream of them doing it. Right now it's pretty boring because
it's going to pick up, though.
No, they're just laying down the foundation part.
Boring.
So I guess like in a day or so.
Black rubber I saw is out there now.
Well, it's not even the rubber. It's like gravel that they lay.
Oh, that's like stone dust?
Yeah, it's like a base. And then they put the stuff in with the rubber in it. So there's a ways to go. But, you know, you can check it out 24 hours a day, check the progress, check in and out. It's pretty cool.
And I was having a hard time sleeping last night. If I have a hard time again tonight, I'm going to go to the website so I can check out.
Are they really working 24/7?
Watching artificial grass grow.
But if I check at like 3 in the morning, there'll be a crew out there working?
Yeah. They're doing 3 shifts 24 hours a day.
Yeah, you heard John Gilman yesterday.
I never know what I hear is true or not.
5 or 6 week process. They're doing it in 10 days.
Yes, I heard all that. Well, heard lots of stuff.
Somehow you selectively decided to ignore
it. Well, I don't always choose. I don't always think it's always all true, but.
Oh, that's right. Even about field turf, we stand up and lie.
We?
Well, I'll get to it off the air.
Saying the organization.
No, I would. I mean, most of it was that guy, John Gilman, or whatever his name was from field turf.
You don't think it would usually take about a month?
No, I do think it would.
5 to 6 weeks.
I just wasn't sure they were really working 24 hours a day. Well, you never know.
He said they had 3 crews. That's, you know.
That's the part I chose not to believe.
All right, so 2 crews are working 24 hours a day.
I think 3 crews. I mean, you split it up. I mean, that's triple shift, and that's what you do.
I think, you know, it's funny. I was just looking at TV here. Mike Nolan's going to wear a suit on the sideline.
Yes.
And the one guy they keep showing as the alter ego is Belichick.
You missed the press conference today, huh?
Yes.
I don't get what the whole thing. I mean, Berman said it Monday. He predicted that he's going to wear a suit because Berman works for the 49ers. But what's the big deal?
Like, you're not allowed to.
Why, though?
Because you have to wear Reebok apparel.
It's not sideline gear.
It's one of those marketing things.
You're right, Tom.
Things.
All they got to do
what
is...
What you're thinking, you're right.
What's he thinking?
Who cares?
How ridiculous is that?
All they got to do is sign a deal with, like, the Men's Warehouse or Brooks Brothers or something, and you're all set.
Well, but they can't because that would supersede the
What's next up from billion? What's the next thing?
Trillion.
Trillion? So is that what the NFL is shooting for, is the trillions?
Right.
Because
hundreds of billions of dollars. This is Reebok protecting its investment.
Right.
Reebok, because they pay to have just Reebok logos on the sideline, and they don't want any other crap out there. What I said to Paul is, I don't understand why they don't do the college basketball thing. and allow coaches to wear suits with the little gold Reebok pin on the lapel that all the coach, you know, Nike or Reebok or Under Armour.
Well, the idea though is you see the coach in this nice polo shirt and you're going to go out and buy it.
What if you see him in an ugly one?
Well, that's the thing. That's the case against it is I don't think anyone's making their clothing buying decisions based on what these guys are wearing.
No, I think they go to the pro shop thing on the website and look at the stuff and it's say, like that.
I spoke with Flanders about it, Ken Flanders, and he thinks it's just because of Bill that the gray hooded sweatshirts
Flanders,
are the most popular.
Can we get him on the phone, Jared?
Hooded sweatshirts are very popular right now. I don't think it's just because of Bill.
Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
It's also a lot of the other stuff's ugly, so you pick the one that's sort of normal. But, no, I asked Bill about
it. He might not expect a call on a Thursday. I'll try him.
Okay.
I asked Bill in the press conference about that, and he said he's definitely open to potentially wearing a suit. He left that door open.
Yeah.
He said he would consider it.
Okay.
He also said he's never been asked in 14 years or whatever since they implemented the policy.
I think it's stupid because you're in all kinds of outside weather.
Well, I just, yeah, it wouldn't be comfortable. It would seem awkward.
Why does he want to wear a suit?
Who?
Mike Nolan?
Yeah.
His dad used to.
His dad was one of the ones that always wore a suit.
You know,
They all used to. Landry
Bill sort of said he would wear it. He kind of alluded
Paul
to the
Brown.
Reason he'd wear it would
well,
be
that's what he said.
To pay homage to the guys in the past. He goes, all those guys, they're Hall of Fame busts.
Well, on the day that any team does their throwback uniform, the coach should wear a suit. I just can't see Bill
in a
suit.
What if you're the Patriots and you don't ever wear throwback uniforms?
Well, then you don't do it.
Okay.
We discussed how uncomfortable he looks in a suit at, like, those Super Bowl press conferences.
Hey, we
the freaking kid is never at his desk.
Andy
he's not
compared
a kid.
Him to you.
I said the only person who looks more awkward is Fred Kirsch on Saturday morning.
You on travel day.
I had a bad day last road trip. I put my shirt on, and for whatever
reason. It wasn't a stain. I didn't know what to do.
For whatever reason, I didn't. Check, you know, I have the button down.
Oh, yeah, your wings were taken off.
Both buttons had been ripped out by the dry cleaner, so I looked like the Flying Nun.
I forgot about
my collar out, and then halfway through the trip, the button on my pants broke. So I don't know if you
how's
guys,
those 30 pounds going?
I don't know if you guys noticed, but I was just being held up by a belt, hoping that the zipper didn't come down. Because that
good job with those 30 lbs. So that had nothing to do with the button shooting.
I'm working out every night.
So hard that buttons are shooting off your pants.
Oh, you watch.
I'm watching.
You're working out.
Watch. You're melting away beneath my
eyes.
Are
you working out? What? At home. I have an elliptical trainer. If I had time, I'd go to, but I do the elliptical trainer for half an hour. Then
they call it the gym.
Then I do my sit-ups and, in my push-ups.
Careful, Tom will challenge you to a push-up.
Hey, I didn't bring that up. That was Parenti.
All right, that's going to crawl to the end of the first hour here. WebRadioPatriots.com. If you want to join us next hour, we're going around the NFL here on PFW in Progress.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is PFW in progress.
Eastbound and down, load it up and truck it. Are we going to do what they say can't be done?
Oh, I love your suits. It must be a bitch getting a size 68 extra fat and a 12 dwarf.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch. Universal presents Burt Reynolds, Sally Field, Jerry Reed, and Fred Paul Perillo.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why do you want that beer so bad?
Because he's thirsty, dummy.
And Andy. And Andy?
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
Andy Hart.
I thought it, you son of a bitch! I gotta barbecue your ass in molasses!
Some guy named Tom.
Sheriff, do the letters F-O mean anything to you?
PFW in progress.
We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder.
All right, back here at PFW in progress. The gang's all here, and it's Thursday at 1 o'clock. That means we're going around the NFL to do our weekly picks straight out and with the number. That's what we do here now. And I just want to remind everyone that the live Field Turf webcam is up and going on Patriots.com. So if you want to check in,
which
progress,
according to Fred Kirsch is quote unquote like not all that interesting right now.
Right now it is
like watching artificial grass grow.
You wait till tomorrow though. That thing is going to be. You want to check out the progress. I'm not saying that you sit there all day and watch it, but every once in a while you check in, see what's going on at the field. It's a rare glimpse at the inner workings of Gillette Stadium. Take advantage of it. So. That's good. Chris has to stay here all night to make sure that the camera doesn't shut off by itself.
Good.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm not going to give out the email address because we're doing picks.
Right.
And, Paul, why don't you go and tell us what happened last week and what the season standings
are. Okay, last week, Andy Hart made a big comeback going from last place to first place, Fred. He goes 12-4.
Wow.
Tom went 9-7, so he had a substantial lead over the rest of us. And Fred, you and I went 8-8. Against the spread, a lot of 8-8s. Let's see. Andy and Tom went 8-8. I went 6-10. Fred, you went 5-11. So
wow.
The spread numbers are really taking a hit.
I'm watching the game that I needed
really
to go 9-7. The Bengals game's on right now.
And we have Andy is now in the lead with the just picking the straight out winners, 89-55. Then it's Tom at 87-57. No, yeah, 87-57. Next to 86-58, and Fred back where he belongs, 85-59.
I'm in the 80s.
With the spread, Tom maintains his lead at 40-42-2. Looks like Fred and Andy are next at 36-42-2, and I am well back of the pack at 33-49-2.
Didn't you deem it separation Sunday? So clearly the cream rose to the top.
I told you it was going to be, didn't I say that? It's going to be separation Sunday because the picks were really diverse.
Although it does seem we're still all within two games of each other.
Yes. but he was four games behind.
Right. I
stunk now
up
he has
until
the
last
lead.
Week.
He was well off the pace. Now he has the lead.
I'm you know,
Fred,
he
who had two.
He won the week by three
he
games.
Made some like bad the picks that I thought were awful, and they ended up winning. So
like the Patriots, I'm having a tough time right now.
See, he's like, that's a little fantasy football like right there. You made some bad picks.
I just want to point out, I meant at the time, I thought they were bad picks, like San Francisco and Detroit. I just thought that was a terrible pick, and they won easy.
Detroit.
Isn't
screws me.
Wait, I just want to clarify something. Didn't Fred have two perfect weeks? Or just one?
No, I think just one.
Just one.
I thought he had two. Because that's amazing. If you could have two undefeated weeks and still be in last place.
He gets so Why do you get mad at him?
Tick, 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 tick. All right.
Where'd you park your truck today?
It's going to be on top of you in a minute.
For everybody out there, I know they like to get a little peek sometimes into our personal lives. You know, they visit us on the road at bars and dinner and stuff.
They
Fred
do.
Kirsch, well, the one guy in Buffalo. Fred Kirsch.
Fred went 15-1 one weekend, 14-0.
Yeah, I thought he had a
one. And still found his way into last place. But Fred Kirsch had an unfortunate car accident between him and a deer. And the deer didn't really do well, and neither did his Spartan Jeep. And Fred's Jeep is being repaired right now, so he has a large...
He's this close to an absolute explosion.
Large Dodge Ram... Oh, I can't say that. A large pickup truck, four-door, long bed, four-wheel drive, big
thing. Kind of like a Dodge Ram.
Kind of like a Dodge Ram, but they're not a sponsor, so I wouldn't say... More like a Ford F-250 super cab.
Apparently, they're not easy to park.
And apparently, they're not easy to park, and whoever owns that other tan truck out there that Fred may or may not have bumped...
Tick, 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 tick.
Fred needs two spots
I saw it move. I saw it move.
Fred's had a little trouble. You know, you drive that little square Jeep all your life, and that's easy to park. You give him a real man's car, and he couldn't park it.
I'll tell you why. Anyone out there that was in that truck with him when he was trying to park it, I mean, you couldn't stop laughing if you tried.
Okay, go ahead, Fred.
Fred, I wasn't there. I ain't saying nothing.
All right, let's get into
it. I was already home on the couch.
That's right.
First game is Sunday at 1, the Falcons at the Ravens. And Baltimore is favored by 4.5 points at this game. Now, I guess the Falcons have all kinds of injuries going on. I don't know. Is that what I'm hearing? Mark Dunn hurt, maybe? Or
I really don't
The Ravens has some injuries. Isn't Ray Lewis? Has been
Ray
out.
Lewis
well,
didn't
he had
play
a bad
last
back.
Week.
He didn't play last
he
week.
He didn't play last
Fred,
week.
Fred, this is one of your bad backs. He got run over into the end zone, so now he's got a bad back, so he has to sell it for the reason why he got run over.
You got that right.
I'm going to take the Ravens to win at home. I know Tom always points out that the Falcons are the exception to the AFC-NFC rule. I just think they'll beat up on Michael Vick and not allow him to have one of his big I'm-a-passer-now days. Cause some fumbles, big plays. You get Ed Reed the ball, it's almost an automatic touchdown. He just scores, makes big plays that are almost offensive. And I just think they're the better, tougher, physical, you know, hard-nosed playoff-type team.
Yeah, for the Falcons, Abraham's out, Patrick Kearney's out, Jason Webster's out. Questionable Algie Crumpler, Jarius Norwood. So,
boy, Vic's numbers must be real good if Crumpler's not going to play. That's the only guy I like to throw.
He was questionable last week and played.
Oh, for the Ravens, Ray Lewis is questionable. Derek Mason is questionable.
I haven't won a Falcons game all year, to be honest with you, I don't think. I mean, I'm an intelligent man, but I don't pretend to know the playing habits of the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, maybe they're early risers, and they get to the stadium 5 hours before kickoff. I have
Fred
no
doesn't
clue.
Get it.
I really haven't won an Atlanta game all year. I love the Ravens in this game. I think their defense will be all over Vic, but I'm sure he'll find a way to throw for 360 yards and 5 touchdowns, but I'll take Baltimore both ways.
Yeah, I'm going to take Baltimore both sides, too. And my fear is that Vic does some stuff against that defense, because when he has one of those days where he doesn't turn the ball over, he can be awfully difficult for a defense that's not used to dealing with him to handle. But, you know, Cleveland completely shut him down last week. I think Baltimore's certainly better personnel on defense. They'll be able to do the same thing. I'm going to go with Baltimore at home.
Plus, Baltimore played my boy last week, right? So a couple weeks in a row, they're prepping for that athletic quarterback. They played
well, they
didn't
do a very good job.
They know him so well, though.
I know, but they won.
Yeah,
of course, if they win by one, I'll be screwed on the
I say it
with
every
a
week.
A lot of help from
winning.
The officials, according to Jeff Fisher, by the way.
I keep winning. At some point, we've got to say that Baltimore's a pretty good team. I don't know. I'm not saying it yet, but I think they're going to win this game. So
7-2, right?
I'll go Baltimore both ways.
Yeah.
All right.
Good to see Steve McNair didn't matter in Baltimore.
I'm just kidding.
I went back on that week three.
I understand. Don't get all
sensitive.
Next game is Buffalo at Houston. Now, Houston's turned things around. They are actually 2.5-point favorites against the Bills, who have a pretty good defense.
Buffalo at Houston. What's the spread? 2.5?
2.5.
Buffalo at Houston. I'm going to take Houston. I think they're going to put up some numbers here at home.
Right.
Maybe they're starting to feel good about themselves. Gary Kubiak gets it rolling, puts up some points.
Yeah, I like Houston easy in this game. Wally Lundy's starting to run the ball a little bit for him. Buffalo can't stop anyone on the ground. Like Andy said, looks like they're one of those teams that they're not going to be a playoff team, but they're starting to head in that right direction. So I like the Texans at home.
Okay.
Just might go with my theory here. Two bad teams, I'll take the home team, Houston. If this game was in Buffalo, I would take Buffalo. But I'll go with the Texans, even though they're not playing the Jags, so they'll probably go back to earth and lose. But
right. I think Houston has played better. I think their run is kind of over. I think Buffalo takes a lot out of only losing to the Colts by a point and having a chance to win it with Ryan Lindell missing a field goal. So I'm going to take Buffalo.
With like 9 minutes left in the game.
Six.
6:44 to be exact.
All right, so why'd you say nine?
Because you keep calling it a game-winning field goal.
If you knew the exact, why didn't you?
Because you keep calling it a game-winning field goal when that's not what it was.
With a pretty good defense. I'm going to go with the Bills.
The Colts?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the Colts can't score in 6 minutes and change.
And that 6:44, by the way, was evaporated with the Colts inside the 10-yard line kneeling on the ball when the game ended.
All right, I'm going to go with the Bills in this game. I think, hey, they were
separate you two.
Better chance of the Patriots
game winning. Game winning field goal.
Chicago at the Jets Sunday at 1. And let's see. Chicago should be the favorite, I think. Yes, they are. Where is that game? Oh, yeah. 7 points. Chicago is the favorite.
My favorite was in
New York.
In a salad.
In New York.
He gives me all these comments. I don't even know what they mean.
Because he has different spreads. That's every time he says
that,
it's all
about
the spread.
Oh, no, I just think the Bears being a 7-point favorite on the road against an AFC team is a joke.
No, my apologies.
That's what the Herald said.
No, I know. I don't know what the real spread is. I haven't looked at them this week.
I'm taking the Bears to win, and I'm going to take the Jets because I think the Jets play close every week now, and they're like I said about Houston, they're feeling really good about themselves, and I think this would be a key game to sort of say, you know, it wasn't just Mangini's matchup with the Patriots and his knowledge and coming out of the bye and all that. We can play with people. I think they're buying into it, believing you need to prove it this week. I think this is a game where maybe you could get a moral victory out of a tight loss. I think the Bears will pull it out in the end to win and make some plays on defense as they always do, but Jets hang tight.
Yeah, I like the Jets in this game, both ways. I mean, obviously against the spread and to win. I just felt like in that locker room, that was one of the more confident, not cocky, like San Diego after they beat the Patriots last year was a cocky locker room. I just felt like I felt confidence in that locker room, and I think the defense might be coming around to where they're going to confuse Grossman. I think it'll be a low-scoring game, so I'll take the Jets in an upset here.
I agree with Tom. I'm going to take the Jets to pull an upset. I think it's a very bad spot for Chicago. They just come off a trip to the Meadowlands against the Giants, which was a much more important game for them because it was for supremacy in the NFC. Big emotional win. I know a lot of people are going to talk about the letdown for the Jets, but I think the letdown here is going to be on Chicago's side, and I agree exactly with the way Tom described it. Mangini will find a way to force some mistakes from Grossman
on that
defense. And I'm going to go with the upset here. I think this would be a significant upset because I think Chicago's a much better team. But I'm going to take the home team and say they're going to pull it off and win outright.
Yeah, I'm going to split it down the middle. Chicago to win, Jets to cover. Just to cover all my bases. All right, Bengals at New Orleans. Let's see. What do we got here? New Orleans is the favorite by 3.5 at home. Bengals are in some trouble.
Talk about teams that you haven't picked right all year. New Orleans is the team for me. I miss them every week.
By 3.5 at home?
Yeah.
I'll take the Saints, I mean, at home.
Outright?
Yeah. They're going to the Super Bowl still, so you know it was written that way a long time ago, and I'm not a big enough power to change that. And a tough one for the Bengals. I'm not sure where they're going, and I think there's a lot of internal pressures and strains in that locker room and the staff and the players and all that. And I think it's hard to bounce back from something like that and go on the road against what I think is a decent football team.
Yeah, that was a devastating loss.
Tom.
You got the gall to ask me who I'm picking in this game after what happened to me last week? I gave out a game. They were up 21-0. They threw for 440 yards. The receiver caught 260 yards worth of passes. First time in NFL history it's ever happened, and they lost.
It was a tip game.
They were up by 21 at the half. I mean, you couldn't draw up a better script if you tried, and the one team in the league that could blow that did, the Bengals. I'll tell you right now, it's all done. Marvin Lewis, he better start looking for more defensive coordinator jobs because he's gone. He lost them last week after that loss. I think the Saints win big here.
Yeah.
For the same exact reason, I'm taking the Saints. I think that was it. They had one final push, Cincinnati did, to try to get back in playoff contention and get the ship righted. And for, you know, the better part of the game, it was righted and got blown up. I think they will not recover from
that. You know, you look at it and you say, oh, you know, maybe Marvin Lewis can rally these guys. But I don't think they've got the character to have that type of motivation stick, you know?
No, as Paul pointed out, last week was the week. I mean, that was their – teams usually do that. They give you that one final
push.
You know, they put it on the line. Then if they come up short, they kind of lose it.
The team just lacks too much maturity.
All right, Minnesota travel.
Who are you picking?
Oh, me? New Orleans outright. Minnesota's traveling to Miami. And Miami is a 3.5-point favorite. This game opened up at 5 points. It's gone down to 3.5.
Miami.
Minnesota at Miami?
Miami, yes. Minnesota at Miami.
Miami wins outright.
And Miami's favored by what?
Two fraud teams.
3.5.
Two fraud teams. I'll take the home one. Ronnie Brown, big day. Runs all over that defense.
This is the rise of the AFC East.
Well, I'm taking the week off of giving
out
picks because last week's loser. But, man, if I was giving out picks, I'd have so much money on Miami, you'd have to put me on layaway. This is an easy one. It's AFC, NFC, AFC team at home. One team's going in one direction. The other team's going in another direction. I'd be surprised if the Vikings win two more games all year, to be honest with you. I think everyone's figured out that defense after the Patriots game. I think Miami wins easy. Plus, Miami's a bunch of frauds, and they don't have any pressure on them now.
Okay, Paul.
I'm not as sure about this one as the rest of the panel, but I'm going to agree with their picks and take Miami. Ronnie Brown running all over Minnesota. I don't see that against that run defense. But I just think they don't have a quarterback. And I said that before the season started, and I was looking bad for a while. But now Brad Johnson is back to what Brad Johnson normally is. And that's just good enough to lose games. I'm going to take the Dolphins here, and for Tom's reason. Now the pressure's off and their season's over, they're winning some games.
Yeah, I'll take the Dolphins outright as well. All right, skip over the Patriots game. We'll go to Oakland Raiders at Kansas City Chiefs. And Kansas City, big number, 9.5-point favorite here at home against the Raiders.
Trent Green back.
Aaron Brooks starting for the Raiders.
Let me tell you. According to this injury report, Trent Green is not on the injury.
Trent Green is playing. He's starting.
Okay,
it's
so
a quarterback change. It's not an injury.
I'm talking about Aaron Brooks.
Oh, Aaron Brooks is probable, but
it's not an injury.
I think he's starting.
Right.
I think I'm pretty sure I saw Aaron Brooks to start against Chiefs. So there'll be two old quarterbacks back in this week.
I'm going to take the Chiefs to win. And I'll take the Chiefs to cover. I don't feel real good about it. I'm not a huge fan of the change here, but I'll take Larry Johnson to do enough on the ground. I think Trent Green's probably going to be rusty. He wasn't playing all that well to start the year, was he? The game and a half?
It was only one game. It was less than one game. He got hurt in the first week.
He got hurt in the first week? I thought it was the second week.
The Bengals game.
I think it was the second quarter. Even.
I'm not a fan of the change, but I just can't pick the Raiders on the road in Kansas City.
Well, one change I am a fan of is getting Andrew Walter the hell out of there for Oakland because that guy is terrible. I know they have more problems than him, but I don't see any talent in him whatsoever. And I know Aaron Brooks stinks, but at least he can toss a couple up to Moss. I think the Raiders have been one of the best against the spread this year because their numbers have been so big and the defenses have been playing well. I'm going to take the Chiefs to win, but I'm going to take the Raiders, kind of low-scoring game. Trent Green will probably be rusty, I would imagine.
I'm going to take the Chiefs both sides. I'm not exactly sure. I just think they're a better team, and they'll find a way at home. They got to bounce back from a disappointing loss last week. Again, they probably feel like they should have won. And I think they get a little bit of a bump here with Trent Green coming back. Even as well as Heward played, it's still their quarterback, and they get him back here. And
playing now, Gonzalez in front of the home is crowds. Out, right?
Yes, I think he is.
Kansas, Ty Law is rested after his weekend in Miami, and I think Kansas City will win, but I think the Raiders are going to cover this game.
Hi, this is Ty Law. Welcome to Miami.
All right, Sunday at 1, Pittsburgh Steelers travel to Cleveland to take on the Browns. Steelers had a very, what would you say, emotional win last week, would you say, at all? How's Palomalu doing?
I think he's out.
I heard he fell off the bench during the game. Let's see. The number is, let's see, Pittsburgh. Looking for Pittsburgh. They're 3.5-point favorites on the road against Cleveland.
I'll take Pittsburgh both ways. They've been through the low part of their season and all the mistakes and all that. So I think you'll start to see that. I mean, they're a decent football team, obviously. If they don't make mistakes, this is a game they should win, whatever their record is. So I think they do it and they cover.
Yeah, in the old days when I ended my run, I was 4-0 betting the Steelers at Cleveland. It's a place that they normally win and cover just on history. So based on that and really nothing else, I'll go with the Steelers each way.
Okay, Paul?
I'm going to make it 3 in a row. I just think Cleveland's not good enough to win 2 games in a row. So I'm going to take the Steelers to keep their little roll going. They're done. I mean, I don't think they have any aspirations, but Pittsburgh's a better team.
I'll take the Steelers to win, but Cleveland to cover in this game. It's, division rivals, that kind of thing. It might go into overtime again. Okay.
It might, Tom. It might indeed go into overtime.
St. Louis at Carolina. Carolina is a 7-point favorite at home against the Rams.
I'll take Carolina to win at home. I'll take the Rams to cover. I just don't think Carolina's as good as I thought they were going to be. And I don't think they're good enough to be a more than a touchdown favorite over anybody even at home right now, another NFC team. So I'll take the Rams to cover.
The only people that like the Panthers more than the fans in Carolina are the people in Vegas. I mean, every week they're like 7 to 11-point favorites, and I watched a little bit on Monday. They can't run the football. Now, the Rams can't stop the run, so this is going to be an interesting...
That Foster guy's terrible.
He sucks.
He's always sucked, and I've never understood why they wanted to make him the lead back.
I saw him run up to the line last week, actually bounced out and found a huge hole, and it took him like 3 steps to get going again.
Yeah, he's terrible.
I mean, he had a nice move, and then just... refused to go forward.
Yeah. He's a third down back and nothing more.
Yeah, now I believe the Rams are either last or second to last in rush defense, so maybe our boy D'Angelo Williams will get in there and do some damage. But I'll take Carolina to win and the Rams to cover, even though, once again, I don't know anything about them. Does anyone know anything about the Rams? I don't know.
Nope.
Well, that's the thing.
I don't see any highlights of them.
They have a very good offense.
No, I know, but
they're
on
an
uptick,
but then all of a sudden they started sputtering again.
I'm just saying, I haven't seen one of their games. I haven't really seen many of their highlights. I know nothing about them, really.
I know Tom Ashworth blocked down and let Leonard
go
untouched to the quarterback.
Does he suck?
I also saw him being the
and
guy.
And tried to chase him down.
Yeah.
Well, you know why? Because he was free, because he didn't block the guy. Because if he had blocked the guy, the whole play wouldn't have happened.
Right. I'm going to say the same thing. Carolina to win and St. Louis to cover. I think the same things that you guys do about Carolina. I thought that last week, and they were 9.5-point favorites, and they covered that.
Yeah, they hit Smith late in the game wide open. They
They covered, and I can't seem to pick.
Yeah, but they didn't dominate the game by 2 touchdowns like the final score said. I mean, they were in a fight for most of that game.
No, they were losing for most of the game. So, I mean, obviously that things still aren't right in Carolina. I'm not sure if Williams is healthy. I know that he was out for a while there, and that was one of the ones that Fox was upset with the sideline reporter for saying something that came out of the broadcast meeting about Williams' injury. He was going to have him out for like 6 weeks, well over a month ago now. So I don't know if he's back.
Well, I saw him
doing
something last week.
Yeah, he was on the field.
He was out there?
Or something.
Yeah, he was on the field.
So maybe this is the week that they get him going again because he was off to a really good start.
Yeah.
Before he got that ankle injury. So I'll take Carolina to win, but I'll take the Rams to cover.
I'm going to take Carolina both ways. You know, every once in a while you see that spread and you think, well, that's a little big. But then
the reason why they make the spread is because they just know
Carolina's
something.
Only covered once all year, Fred.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with it.
Last week.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with it.
When I had Tampa.
Tennessee at Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a 13-point favorite at home against the Titans.
What does that mean? See, he throws these things out there, and I don't know what they mean.
What did he
say?
Taking
the Eagles to win, the Titans to cover. That's what I'm taking because I like Vinsanity. I like the Titans. Big boost back. They got their defensive lineman kicking people in the head back from suspension. And Travis Henry, roll.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same thing. I think the Titans are one of those teams that are fighting. They're an AFC team. We saw what happened when Houston went to New York. They almost pulled it out. I really don't think that the Eagles are two touchdown better than most teams in the league. So I'll take the high number here.
Yeah, originally I was going to go Philadelphia, and I was going to lay the points. And that last thing you said, Andy, with Travis Henry, Philly can't stop anybody on the ground. And I think that's a good point. And for that reason, I think Tennessee is able to keep this game close. And they are a team, you know, they're not like in some of the, like the Cincinnati and some of these other teams that are disappointing, Pittsburgh maybe, and you wonder at what point do they toss it in. Tennessee is really trying to build something with a lot of young guys, and they're playing hard every week, and they're in almost every game. They got blasted a couple of weeks ago by Baltimore. Last week was a close game, but maybe it was Jacksonville that blasted them a couple of weeks
ago. Yeah, Jacksonville and Dallas beat them up.
Virtually every other game, they've really been in. So I'll take Tennessee to cover that spread. Philadelphia to win. But
and Keith Bullock has kind of got what he wanted. He wanted Vince Young. Remember, he popped off early on, wanted Vince Young in. Even if we lose some games, at least we'll be building towards where we want to go. And I think he's got everything. Vince Young's in there. He's made some plays, made some mistakes. And as a team, they've been fighting tough, hanging tough, and kind of moving forward.
Might be hard to just completely mindlessly blitz him, too, because he might be able to beat that blitz with a couple of big plays with his legs.
I got to ditto that. I got to go with Philadelphia to win and Tennessee to cover. All right. Sunday at 1. This is the final Sunday at 1, other than the Patriots game. This is the Washington Redskins at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay is 3-point favorites at home.
Got a quarterback change for the Redskins, a crappy team. Got a crappy team in Tampa that Tom picked to go to the
Clinton
Super Bowl.
Clinton Portis is out for the season.
I'll take the home team. Two crappy teams, take the home team. And what was the spread?
3.
I'll take them to cover, too.
Who'd you pick to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC last year? I forgot.
Last year, I don't remember.
It was Minnesota.
No, I don't remember.
Was it
Minnesota? It's been a while.
It was Minnesota.
Andy's right. Normally, you know, you guys, we had the intervention that I can't pick Tampa Bay, but these are extreme circumstances.
I agree. You're allowed.
We're starting a quarterback that hasn't been active for a game yet, I believe I heard. You know, Liddell Betts is okay at running back. It's not a huge, huge drop-off. Obviously, Portis is better. But I think Campbell will make some mistakes here, and Tampa Bay will take this game.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tampa as well. Two teams that aren't very good, though. I'm just going with the home team, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, me too.
Disappointing teams.
All right. Gary, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go to the 4 o'clock games.
Breaks the tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the 3-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to the first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly...
My hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Okay, back here in PFW and Progress. We're going around the NFL. We left off with the 4 o'clock games. 4:05, Detroit travels to Arizona to take on the Cardinals. The Cardinals are 2-point favorites at home. I am never right on a Detroit game, so whatever I say, I'll be wrong in this game. I'm saying it right now.
I'll take Detroit to win outright on the road because I just can't pick the Cardinals. They're a debacle, an embarrassment.
How can you pick Detroit?
Because at least Detroit has weapons that have been making plays in recent weeks. Kevin Jones is actually having an okay year, so I'm picking them. Although I did see, what's the deal with Kitna? There's talk of going in a different direction there. Who's the backup?
McCown.
But they like Kitna there.
I don't know. All I saw was Marinelli saying, we're not changing to Kitna, which means there's some groundswell.
Maybe Josh McCown from
something.
Arizona.
But I'm going with the Lions on the road. Two bad teams. I'll take the team that I think has at least a chance to make plays. And what are they? What, they lost 8 in a row in Arizona now? They start 1-0, and now they're 1-8. Denny Green's out. They stink.
They didn't win their first game, I don't think.
I thought
Cardinals?
They did. I thought they went 1-0, and now they're on an 8-game losing streak.
You might, Rabbit.
I don't
what do you got over there, Hi-Ho?
I don't care. Who's home?
Arizona.
I'll take them. I don't have an opinion at all on this game.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Two terrible teams. I'll stick with my theory, even though it hasn't served me well all year.
Yeah, I'll go with Arizona outright here. Well, actually, are they favored?
Yeah.
I'll go with Arizona outright. I'm always wrong, so I know Detroit's going to win this game. So.
I know Detroit's going to win. That's why I picked them.
But I'm going to go with Arizona. Okay, 4:05 game, Seattle at San Francisco. This game, according to the Herald, is off the board because the quarterback and running back are questionable. I'm setting the line. Seattle is a 5-point favorite.
Over who?
Over San Francisco.
Where's the game?
Seattle. San Francisco.
Oh, San Francisco.
When I go upstairs, you know I'm going to look at that line, and
okay.
It better be close.
I'm setting the line.
What is it?
Seattle's a 5-point favorite at San Francisco.
How do you come up with 5?
That's what I say.
I'll take Seattle to win and cover Fred Kirsch's line.
Andy, you were right, by the way. They did win their first game, the Cardinals.
I thought so. I thought they were on an 8-game losing streak. I just think Seattle's the overall better team. Although, if Mike Nolan's in a suit, I might have to reconsider if they get a boost of energy from that old school dress attire on the
Hasselbeck
sideline.
And Alexander playing?
Alexander, yes. According to Fred or me.
You.
Hasselbeck is one more week.
According to Tom,
Alexander,
ESPN.
Yeah, I heard it on ESPN, but Fred said, well, they're not always right. But in stuff like this where they say Sean Alexander's definitely playing.
Early in the week.
They're usually got it from somebody
but
in the
no
organization.
Hasselbeck?
No Hasselbeck till next week.
But Tom Ashworth will play. And despite that fact, I'm going with the Seahawks.
Now, this game's in San Fran.
Yeah.
I get 5.
Yeah.
I'll tell you,
I get 5 on Fred Kirsch's casino.
San Fran, I don't. They're as much as I hate San Fran, and as much as I hate Chris Berman, they're starting to build something there. I'm going to go with them with the upset. I think Seneca Wallace is still a joke, and I think that swarming defense with Tom Ashworth in there will get to him and cause turnovers.
Is what's his name still out? Gore.
I didn't know he was.
No, he's questionable with a concussion. Actually, I forgot about that.
But I mean, he had one whatever in the first half and then left early in the third, right?
I'm going to take Seattle to win, and I'm going to take Fred's 5 points and San Francisco to cover.
I'm going to take San Francisco outright in this game.
You take Arizona in that other game?
Yeah.
This could really make this whole segment more entertaining if we let Fred set all the lines.
There you go. Okay, 4:15.
In Seattle to win, San Francisco to cover.
This is Paul's game of the week. Colts at Dallas.
I don't care about this game.
You don't?
Tom cares about this game.
Okay, well.
I don't know if you know, Drew is no longer a factor.
Indianapolis is only a 1-point favorite in Dallas.
They opened a 2.5-point underdog.
That's true.
I am going to take
Vegas missed the boat on that.
The Indianapolis Colts to win on the road.
What would yours be?
I think they continue to roll.
Dallas would never be favored over the Colts.
I think they stay undefeated here. They break free, put up some
Roy
points.
Roy Williams is going to get his pants pulled out in this game.
And I think they win pretty easy, actually.
Who does?
The Colts. If you hadn't been speaking when I was talking, you would have known.
I actually wasn't. There was two other people talking about it.
Actually, it was you.
Tommy,
actually, it wasn't. We can do this all day. I don't care.
Me either.
ESPN doesn't like to focus on injuries to guys that they don't know much about, but Greg Ellis being out for the Cowboys is huge because they're going to use a 3-man rotation to try to replace him, and he was the guy getting pressure on the quarterback, and the first game without him is going to be the Colts. Now, maybe they're going to find a replacement for him, but I doubt it'll be right away, which means Manning's going to have time. And he's going to kill that secondary. I think the Cowboys will score some points. I think they'll run the ball on him. I think Romo will have a pretty good game. It's just too much Colts through the air, though. They don't match. The Cowboys' secondary does not match up well with them.
What do you guys think? Do you think the Colts have a better chance of going undefeated this year than they did last year?
Well, I'll tell you what. I heard the Colts writers talking about it, and I don't know where this fallacy comes from. Even they had it. Well, I think Jacksonville will be the game. They beat Jacksonville every time they play them. Jacksonville plays them tough. They don't beat them. Remember we checked it last time? Was it 7-1 or something, the last 8?
I don't remember what it was, but I do remember checking it, and they didn't beat them that very often.
But I just don't understand why everyone always thinks Jacksonville is going to beat them. They have one other game besides this. There's one game. Oh, the Eagles. The Eagles. I don't know. I
think they have a better chance. First of all, I don't think there's going to be a tragedy involved with the end of the season. And I think when you're good enough to start out 9-0, you're a pretty good team. They're winning tight games. I think they already could have stumbled and lost a game. And I think that bodes well for going down the stretch.
Yeah, this is, I think clearly their toughest hurdle the rest of the way at Dallas. They host the Eagles, then they're at Tennessee, at Jacksonville, at home against Cincinnati, at Houston, and at home against Miami.
I definitely think they could go.
If they get by Jacksonville.
Well, Miami gets to play them last. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that would be pretty good.
Freaking losers will be on the sideline.
Let me tell you something. If they're going for an undefeated season, Cincinnati might as well not even show up. They'll hang 70 on them.
Well, I like the Colts here as well. I think this is going to be a very high-scoring game, though. I think that Indy will – I mean, I think Dallas will put some points on the board. I think they can run and throw on that defense. And as far as a better chance, I think Andy makes the good point with Tony Dungy last year. And clearly, you know, there's no way you could foresee something like that happening. But clearly the road is easier this year than it was last year, but I don't think the Colts are anywhere near as good defensively this year as they were last year, and for that reason I say there's no way they go undefeated, even with that schedule.
Mm. Okay, and you're picking Indy both ways?
I'm
going
to take the Colts, yeah. You know, 1 point, I'll take them.
I'm going to take the Colts as well outright. I'd be rooting for Dallas, but
that spread is a little fishy, though. You have an undefeated, I know the Cowboys get respect from the odds makers because of who they are, but to open up as 2.5-point favorites against the Colts.
That's what it says, right, Fred?
Tony,
plus,
it opened
plus
up
two
at
and
plus
half,
two and
right?
a half, and now it's one.
I think this Tony Romo fever is getting out of control because I don't know too many teams that the Colts would be just 1-point
Maybe
favorite.
Maybe it's Bill
over.
Parcells. Maybe he knows what to do against the Colts.
Is he playing cornerback, or is Anthony Henry covering Reggie Wayne?
Right. See, that's the reason why I'm going with the Colts. Yeah. Strictly that Cowboys secondary has really given up a ton of big plays. They've been highlighting them all week on ESPN, and I see the Colts making a lot of big plays in this game through the air, and And I think that once they do that, they can probably run the ball a little bit. And
so why do you think that the Colts opened up as the favorite? I mean, the Cowboys opened up as the favorite.
I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, I know Dallas gets a lot of money from the public because of the Cowboys. They got T.O., and I think a lot of people might think this is the game. This is where they're gonna. This is where the Colts are going to stumble. I agree with Paul. I think the Cowboys will score. I wouldn't be surprised if they take a lead in the halftime, to be honest with you. I just think in the end, it's too much Peyton Manning. Look for, I mean, I think probably close to 400 yards.
Okay. This will be interesting. Good game, 4:15. So we won't be able to see it, but that's all right. 8:15 game Sunday night. The Chargers travel to the Broncos. And let's see. Denver is a 2.5-point favorite at home.
I'll take the Chargers to win outright. I don't like the Broncos at all. I think they put up points here. Danny and Tomlinson runs through them. They pass over them. Big road win in that division.
It's a huge game. Huge
big
game
road
in
win
AFC
in that
West.
Division.
Big, big, big game.
I got to be honest with you, Fred. Those diabetic troubles might be creeping into this weekend. I'm missing Michigan, Ohio State, the Colts, the Cowboys, and Denver and San Diego. This isn't the weekend to be on the road.
I'll tell you. I'll give you my little TV.
Wait, this is the late game, right?
8:15.
Yeah, and he'll have your little TV, and he'll be looking at fuzz at 30,000 feet.
Well, screaming at Fred.
We get back at 9:15, so you can watch a little.
But I'm just saying, if we were at home, he'd get home, watch the second half.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to go with Andy here. I like the Chargers team better than I like the Broncos team. Now, this is Marty Schottenheimer's house of horrors. We all know Denver. Yeah, it's going to be a tough game, probably go down to a field goal or something. But I'm going to, just because like with Andy, I like the Chargers better as a team.
I do, too.
I think that the Chargers are a more well-rounded team as well. However, I'm going to go with Denver here because I think that this is they're more desperate. Even though the records are the same here, they have to have this game. They play San Diego twice, and you can't lose the first one at home. You know, you're looking, both of those teams will say, you know, we'd love to sweep, but we'll take a split. Can't get swept. And if you lose the first one at home, I think you're in a lot of trouble. I know Denver's really banged up on defense. This, in my opinion, this would be an upset, even though Denver's favored. I think Denver is not as good a team, and they are banged up right now and not playing well. But I'm going to take them to win.
Shanahan a better coach than Schottenheimer?
I believe so. Yes.
Fred or Paul, let me ask you something. You know how sometimes there's points in the season where you like teams start their kind of run to the Super Bowl. Do you think last week's game at Cincinnati could be that for the Chargers? Like this was the game that propelled them.
The only thing I worry about is this defense that's supposed to be nuclear power is giving up 41 points. I mean, I know they're without Merriman, but who else?
Didn't they lose that other guy, the other linebacker?
Castillo was out for the
Castillo was out.
And what about the other guys? He's still out? Olshansky?
No, he was back. The Phillips and Olshansky were back. Merriman and Castillo were out.
All right. So, I mean, that's a little bit of an extenuating circumstance then to give up that many points. And Cincinnati does have a good offense. I mean, I like the Chargers team. I think they're a pretty good team. I think they'll be in the playoffs. And I think this is a potential first-round opponent for your New England Patriots. And I don't think that's a good thing.
No.
Right now, any of the teams aren't a good thing.
Well, if Jacksonville came to town, I would have just as much confidence this year as I did last year.
Ah, they're Del Rio.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chargers to win this game. So, there we go.
Thanks for the insight.
Oh, you guys said it all. By the time it gets to me.
So for a Broncos fan like you to pick against your home
team.
He's
off the Broncos.
I've been off for years. You just don't listen.
To your crap? Nope.
The Giants at Jacksonville. Let's see. Jacksonville is favored by 3 points at home.
Pauly. It's a tough one. The Giants pooped out. Who's starting a quarterback?
Eli Manning.
Is Garrard still starting? Guys, anyone know?
I really don't know who's starting.
Because he crapped out last week, right? Didn't he throw three picks?
Four picks.
Fred goes Eli Manning.
He had that look on his face, though.
I'll take the home team. Jacksonville's a good home team. I'll assume Garrard, whoever plays, won't blow it up for him. I've never been in love with the New York Giants, and going on the road against an AFC team that plays well at home. I'll take the Jags.
Yeah, I like Jacksonville big in this game. The Giants are hurting. I'm hearing rumblings from New York that the players and the coaching staff aren't seeing eye to eye again. I think this is the game where if they get beat pretty bad, I think this is the game where they can't keep Shockey down, where he ends up starting to talk a little bit. Eli Manning, I don't know, Giant fans, whether it's the coaching or whether it's him, people aren't happy in New York despite their strong start, and I think it could get ugly this week in Jacksonville.
23 people on the Jacksonville Jaguars injury list.
Wow, that's like the Patriots Colts.
It's ridiculous.
I thought the Giants were the team that was banged up.
Well, their guys
are out. A lot of their guys are just out. They're out for the year.
Petticoat's out, straight for the year. Strahan's out.
Is Yuma Nuora still out?
Doubtful. Sam Madison's doubtful.
Yeah, I mean, they're hurting.
Yeah, for that reason, I'm taking Jacksonville. I think that was a damaging loss for them the other night.
They hung tough for a while. They expended a lot of energy
and then just completely collapsed in the fourth quarter. And I thought they had a chance. So I think they probably should have won the game, to be honest with you, even though the final score was 38-20. I think they should have had a bigger lead than 13-3 late in the first half. They had no business whatsoever giving up that late touchdown at the end of the half, allowing Thomas Jones to run 25 yards on 3rd and 22. It was very Kevin Falk-like. I think they should have won the game. They didn't, and I think Tom's right. That's going to explode on them this week. And Jacksonville seems to play that big game whenever you finally write them off. And they had a terrible loss again last week to Houston at home.
Well, and like you said last week, for some reason, they can't beat Houston.
They can't beat Houston. So I'm going to chalk that up as to that's one of those teams that has their number. I'll take Jacksonville.
I'm going to take the Giants outright. This is one of those games similar to like the Patriots have had in the past where you say if they win this game, this is going to be a real, you know, indication of what kind of team they are. I think they rally. They're going to rally, and they're going to win this game.
How do you get this on of the Patriots?
Their team's going to rally. Their team's going to step up.
All right. So I'm taking the Giants.
I can hear that.
I can't hear this.
All right. Let's get back to the Patriots Sunday at 1, traveling to Green Bay, of course.
Unless you're in Green Bay, then it starts at 12. Get up early.
And,
not happy about that.
That's true. These are all East Coast times, by the way.
Good news is we don't have to leave the hotel, right? Isn't this place last time where we walked a half mile and then came back and ate the hotel? Those little sports
bar. We did do that, didn't we?
With the cheese balls.
We played trivia.
We did?
Yeah, didn't we have some kind of... There was some kind of
giveaway or something. Yeah.
Cheese curds.
Yeah, the little balls. Are,
you did
those
well
are
with
good.
That.
You coming, Gary?
Why not?
No room on the plane.
That's true.
That's part of it.
I'm not happy with that.
All right.
What's the spread?
It's funny because all these other teams, they go by where they're from, except for the Patriots. They go by Patriots.
It's the local paper.
It's the local paper.
So? They can't say New England? What's the difference?
What's the spread?
Oh, God.
6 points. Patriots are favored.
Pats by 6. Pats win by 14 or more. They go into Green Bay. Tom Brady, despite me giving up on him a little bit last weekend and starting to say he's part of the problem, not the solution right now. I think he bounces back. I think he was a little he's a little ticked off at the way the coverage might be going and people are sort of maybe not giving up on the team, but you know they'll rally that angle and Packers give up a lot of yards through the air. I think they can run the ball on him. I think they can throw the ball on him. I think they'll be looking to get after Favre and force some mistakes, and I think they probably will. And I believe this will be their first win ever in Lambeau Field for the New England Patriots franchise.
It's only the second visit, I believe.
Yeah.
They've only been there
one
once.
Of four places where they've never won. This is one of them. They get off the schneid. 32-17.
32.
Why do you get so mad whenever someone picks an abnormal score?
Because usually when
score?
You're just picking a score, you just say like 31-17.
Well, I was going to go 35, but then I said, no, 32.
I know me and Fred disagree on this, but I think this is a must-win for New England because if they lose their third in a row against a team they should beat, come home to play the Bears, it's gonna be tough. I mean, I think there could be some dissension in the ranks.
That.
The Packers rank last in pass defense, so technically they're worse than the Vikings. If you can't throw the ball on them, you might as well pack it in.
I see what you did there.
I like 31 to 20. Is that okay with you, Andy?
That's fine.
I think Favre will hit a couple of plays down the field.
You're the one who has problems with the score predictions.
But it won't. Well, I don't know if he wanted me to go 32-20.
31 and a half.
But I think it's just too much the Patriots offense this week.
Yeah, I like the Patriots in a desperation kind of mode. They've generally responded well to that, and I agree with Tom. I do think this is a must-win, and I like my chances with Brady in that situation. If the Packers do not turn the ball over, I think that they cover. However, I don't think that they go through this game without turning it over. Andy and I talked in the first hour. You have Brett Favre, who's very mistake-prone, and Amon Green, who is one of the most notorious fumblers in football. I think that combination is bad against the Patriots defense that's going to probably look to bounce back for a couple of efforts that they probably feel were a little bit less than what they're normally accustomed to. So I don't have a score that I want to throw out there and get yelled at by Tom, but I'm going to say the Patriots win in cover.
Yeah, I know I picked the Patriots to lose on our TV show, but seeing as how I'm having a little trouble with the season tally here, I got to go with the Patriots in this game.
Oh, I have to go back and redo it then because.
Yeah. Are you being sarcastic?
Yes.
Yes.
Right,
he is. I
knew you wouldn't have the stones to pick the Packers.
And to cover. And to cover.
Yeah. I knew you wouldn't have the stones to pick the Packers
on
the radio
stones?
Show.
What stones?
This is Patriots Nation you're in front of now. This isn't the neck and show
this
that
five
people
This is what I think is going to happen, Paul.
So what was the TV show?
Yeah. I told you it was a petulant child pick.
He can always fall. You have to give Fred credit. He's very smart. He always falls back on something.
Well, things that I've said and
right.
done.
Right. So, in other words, we set it up so no matter what happens, Fred's right. And we'll all be patting Fred on the back. You nailed that one, Fred.
It's true.
All right. We still got time here.
More importantly, if we have time, should I sit Amon Green from the Hart Foundation? I don't see this defensive front giving up yards to Amon Green consistently this week. Do you, Tom?
Who are your other?
I'd be bringing in Travis Henry.
Yeah, I'd do that.
That's what I'm planning on doing. Okay, good. Just wanted to check. I want to make it like Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football when it's Tony Kornheiser and Jeff Gordon discussing their fantasy teams.
So I guess I hear a little inside information that the Bears
complained to the league that they had to play three straight games on the East Coast.
Chris must have knocked the camera. It's off.
it's on a seat right
well,
now.
Well, it's kind of crooked.
Stop, Bears.
Where is this camera located?
In the press box. I've got it on the screen right now.
And what is it showing?
Can you
not
tell
the field?
Me about that Chicago
chair.
The bathroom.
No, I guess the Bears called up the Patriots kind of a little concerned over this change of field.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would be, too.
And they were.
We pretty much had the guy admitting that it's not ideal. It's not going to be in its proper playing.
Yeah, he says it needs to set. And
right.
To play
they're going
to
try
it,
and press it or roll it, heavy roll it or something, but it's clearly not going to be what they'd prefer to do.
Why don't they? I mean, why wouldn't they roll it all the time?
What do you mean?
Because I think they want it. Because rolling it, you're pushing the grass down too. Maybe they want it to just sort of naturally settle in between the grass.
Probably.
Because this new grass, this part of the new, is that it's it
bounces
back better. It's got like a spine.
This is like the fourth generation of
field
turf. Yeah,
and it has a spine. Because you'll see some of them on TV. I think Minnesota's one of them. You really notice it. Giant Stadium, it gets matted down and it looks squished.
The nicest one is in New Orleans, I think.
Yeah,
they have like
that's
one of
brand
the,
new.
Yeah, the real
the
nice.
And everything. Yeah,
it's hard to tell if it's grass or
right.
if it's fake.
Now, Paul, before the game, will you be going out and testing it, the field?
No, he's going to walk across the field, turn to the guy, and go. So, where's this new turf field they've been talking about, in New England? Oh, wait, he's not as dumb as what's his name, the guy from Nebraska.
Oh, Tom Osborne.
What an idiot. No wonder he let criminals do whatever they want on his
what
program.
What did he do?
Who only turned out
the
to
guy
like
from
a
Field
US
Turf claims that, yeah,
a rep or a senator?
He's no longer elected.
Senator.
He got bumped,
senator?
I believe.
Yeah.
He got bumped, I believe.
Yeah,
I
but
he's
was,
out.
He was a senator.
The voters realized the error in their ways.
No, he wasn't a senator. He was
I thought he was a rep.
Like an assemblyman or something like that. Or so, yeah,
no,
one
I
of
thought he was.
I think he was a one of the offices, like a rep or a senator.
Yeah, something like that.
But, Fred, this field turf guy claims that he was at some high school where they installed the field, and Tom Osborne walked across the field and said, hey, so where's this new fake field you installed? And the guy goes, you just walked across it. Wow. Are you kidding me? You didn't know it was a fake field? I mean, I know it's nice and it's coming, it's closer to grass, but it's fake.
Well, Paul,
You must be excited with the talk that possibly now that they have this artificial turf, they can bring in some of the Super Bowl games.
I am. I used it as my last call yesterday.
I think that's very exciting.
Show.
I think that's very cool.
Andy and I talked about it during the day, and I
tremendous.
What are the
chances?
I think the chances are excellent.
Probably not.
No, Super Bowl in
no,
New
high
England?
School
Super
Bowl.
No, high school.
I was now be able to play here instead of at little crappy college fields or high school.
Not only that, I mean, my vision is to really, you know, there's going to be a section in the new museum that we're building for the history of football in New England. Pop Warner, high school, college, all the
all
traditions.
Burlo.
I want to make this the hub of New England football. Have a high school combine every year, and maybe even someday have a New England versus New York All-Star game right here at Gillette Stadium. I think that'd be great.
I think that'd be tremendous.
You know?
I think the more opportunities you give kids to play on the field that Tom Brady play, I think they would love it. As I said, better than they, a lot of them, they're playing at like Division III college fields now, and it's just not the same.
John Rooks here. Hey, John, how you doing?
Woohoo! What's up?
You got your Insight Bowl shirt on, huh?
It's on.
Okay. That's not.
No? Someone did.
Is that what you're planning? Is that what you're planning on going this year?
Music City.
Yeah, 1999, I think. Yeah, this is shows you how long I keep things around the house. Throw things away.
So
no
police,
problem with that.
Has the feds caught up with you yet for your emails to Doug Flutie?
With it. Yeah. It was 22-7, I believe.
Yes.
22-7. In the dome, no less.
How's Providence College going to be this year?
Better.
Yeah?
They will be better. They won by 25 over fairly ridiculous university the other night. They play the vaunted Brown Bears on Saturday.
To see that really playing that big schedule.
But the Friars get to play the BC Eagles next Wednesday.
Okay.
So
anybody good on their team
this
year?
Who lost to Vermont?
Yeah, well, Kansas
they
lost last night
Kansas
to Oral
lost
Roberts.
To Oral Roberts.
Yeah, did you like that?
Happens early in the year.
How about that, huh?
Woo! Killing them.
At Fog
Absolutely
Allen, too.
Torching them and carving them up like a Christmas turkey.
Wait. Yeah. The Friars have two kids, two sophomores, Sherrod Curry, who's a 5'10 guard out of Georgia, and a young man by the name of Jeff McDermott, who is actually a high school teammate of Ray Rice's at Rutgers, who, you know, they were at New Rochelle together, New Rochelle High School. He was the quarterback, and he is a 6'7" power forward for the Friars.
Fred, who was from New Rochelle?
Who was from New Rochelle as a basketball player?
No. TV icon.
Oh, come on. You don't know this, Fred?
Wait a minute. Who was from...
Chet Jacobs? Chet?
No.
Who was from New Rochelle?
Fictional character.
Da, 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 da. Oh, da, that's right. Dick Van Dyke.
Rob Petrie.
Very much. Rod Petrie,
I know that tune, see? Andy's looking at
me. I don't know anything about anything we're talking about. First of all, let's get back to the guy who was a 6'7" high school quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, like Dan McGuire, right?
Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah. Actually, he was recruited by Rutgers, Syracuse, and Wisconsin as a defensive end. And had they allowed him, any one of those three schools allowed him to potentially play at quarterback, I think he might have gone.
So I'm guessing some high school defensive backs that blitzed off the edge bounced off his back and he threw the ball.
I got to be honest with you. Syracuse should have considered it
with
their quarterback play.
Yeah, they probably should have. But, you know, hey, they screwed up and their loss is Providence's gain because he's, you know, he wanted a possibility of playing both ways, playing, you know, both football and basketball at a potential school, and none of those 1A football schools wanted him to do it. So he said, well, to hell with you. I'll go play hoop.
All right. Well, the hell with you. We're leaving. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday at noon. Stay tuned for John Rook.